Today on Uncommon Stories, we will lace up our cleats, put our ball cap on, grab our bat and glove, and head out to the old ball field and find out where baseball and stickball came from. We might even learn a thing or two about some other fun games people of all ages play around the world. It didn't take long for baseball to become America's pastime once it was organized into a professional sport, but the play was interrupted during World War II as many of the players headed overseas to fight in the war. In an effort to keep spirits up in the States, baseball executives created a special baseball league to entertain sports fans and especially the troops before they went overseas and during a break in between tours. Can you name this special league? Think about it, and we'll see if you're right after our story. Baseball is fun to play and watch for people of all ages, and it is one of the oldest professional sports in North America. But how did it come to be? Who was the first person to throw a ball or pick up a stick and hit a line drive to friends in the middle of a field? Well, the answer isn't really that cut and dry. There are many games that civilizations played that required a ball and a stick, or many sticks in some cases, and we'll get to those. But as for baseball, its roots are found in a game called stoolball, and it's a story that has a great beginning. In the early 1400s in Sussex, southern England, many farmers employed teenage girls or young women as milkmaids, as they needed teenage boys and men to work the fields. As the story goes, milkmaids tried to find something entertaining to do during breaks and once finished milking all of the cows. So they would grab one of the stools they would sit on to milk the cows, take a wadded up piece of cloth, and throw it at the stool. The women would form teams, and as one woman would throw the ball underhand and try to hit the stool, later called a wicket, a woman from the other team would try to block it and keep it from hitting the stool. Eventually, the women trying to block the pitch used their milk bowl and tried to hit the ball away from the stool. And the game of what was then called Biddle Battle was on. The fielding team scored by hitting the wicket with the ball. The defending team scored by defending the wicket. By 1450, the name had changed to stoolball and had evolved into a more competitive match. Now, two wickets were used, and teams of 11 women, or mixed teams of men and women, played to see who could score the most points. The pitcher, referred to as a bowler, still threw the ball underhand and tried to hit the wicket, but the batsman now had a bat shaped like a frying pan and tried to hit the ball and run to the opposite wicket and back before the fielding team could return the ball and touch the wicket. The fielding team tries to catch the ball or throw it back in time to get the batsman out, but also to a very popular game in England and other countries, cricket. Stoolball was revolutionary on many fronts, but the most intriguing is this game is one of the first known sports in which women participated. Women's activities before this game became popular were far more recreational and were not competitive by nature. The game declined in popularity but made a comeback in the 20th century with leagues, clubs, and championships. It even made its way out of England to France, Japan, and Sri Lanka. It faded again in the 1960s but is still played and referred to as the national sport in Sussex, Kent, Surrey, and the Midlands. And just as important, it developed into other sports, most notably rounders, which is the next sport in the evolution of baseball. Once stoolball became popular, it wasn't long before rounders, another stick and ball game, sprang up. As stoolball was inspired by rounders, it is more closely related to cricket. Rounders, on the other hand, resembles baseball. In fact, in 1744, in an English children's book, it is referred to as baseball. Games of rounders began around 1485, and unlike stoolball, teams made up of men were the norm. That has changed over time, however. Other differences are the use of four bases instead of two wickets, and the batter uses a small round bat and has to swing at any pitch in which he or she can reach the ball thrown to him or her. And as an interesting twist, the batter runs regardless of whether he or she hits the ball or not. The batter also holds the bat in one hand instead of using two to swing at the ball. And there are no strikes or balls. Once a pitch is in reach of the batter, he or she has to swing. And similar to stool ball, pitches are thrown underhand. But just as in baseball, there are 9 players to a team. The game is a mixed bag of stool ball and new rules, but the groundwork was set when it first became popular for more games to come. And the next in line was called town ball. Rounders was brought to America by English settlers by way of Canada in the early 1800s. But by the 1830s, a new game was derived, town ball. This game usually has more than 9 players to a team and is played on a square field with 3 bases and a home plate. And the entire field is in play. There is no foul territory. The striker or batter, interestingly enough, stands in the middle of home plate and first base to strike the ball. The striker or batter, interestingly enough, stands in the middle of home plate and first base to strike the ball on a kind of fifth base called the striker stand. After that, the game is played much like baseball, except in the early days, a player could hit the runner before they reached a base to put the runner out. This was called soaking or plugging. The game started in Philadelphia, but made its way to the majority of the U.S. by the late 1800s. The most interesting story behind town ball is who took town ball and invented baseball from it. The story started with a friendly argument between an editor and his publisher. In 1903, the editor of Spalding's Official Baseball Guide, Henry Chadwick, born in England and often called the father of baseball for his contributions to the game, wrote, "Just as the New York game was improved town ball as improved form of the 2 centuries-old game, rounders." The publisher of the Spalding Guide, Albert Goodwill Spalding, a one-time star pitcher in baseball, an executive in the early years of the league, and yes, the co-founder of A.G. Spalding Sporting Goods Company, which is still in business today and known simply as Spalding, didn't agree with Chadwick and said that baseball's origins were American. The feud went back and forth for some time, until in 1905, Spalding organized a panel of experts called the Mills Commission, named after Abraham Mills, who was the 4th president of the National League of Professional Baseball Clubs in 1883 to 1884. One of the members of the commission, Abner Graves, testified that Abner Doubleday invented the game of baseball. Doubleday was a Union Civil War general who fired the first shot in defense of Fort Sumter in the opening battle of the Civil War. So, Doubleday invented the game of baseball in 1939 in Cooperstown, New York, when he organized boys' teams to play what he called at the time, town ball. The game Graves described that Doubleday invented sounded more like stool ball than rounders. But since Chadwick's case was that baseball came from rounders, this is not surprising. Either way, Graves' claims could not be substantiated, so the debate continues. Even though there is no consensus of where exactly baseball came from, a baseball craze burst onto the scene in the New York metropolitan area in 1850. And just 6 short years later, journalists were calling the game the national pastime. In 1857, 16 area clubs formed the sport's first governing body, the National Association of Baseball Players. And in 1869, the first fully professional baseball club, the Cincinnati Red Stockings, was formed. Taking a tour that summer, the Red Stockings went undefeated playing semi-pro and amateur teams, and they still remain the only baseball team to go undefeated during a regular season. New leagues and governing bodies were created, merged, folded, and grew up again, until finally, in 1901, the American League evolved from the minor Western League and was established as the counterpart to the National League, which was founded in 1876. And Major League Baseball was underway. The game has undergone changes here and there throughout the years, but remains true to its founding in 1901 and is the oldest of the 4 major professional sports leagues in the U.S. Now let's touch on one of the games that is closely connected to baseball, but surprisingly was not created out of baseball, softball. The story behind its invention is truly fascinating. Baseball and softball are very similar, and softball certainly looks a lot like stool ball and rounders, especially the use of underhand pitching. But softball was not officially taken and created from any of these sports. It all started on Thanksgiving Day in 1887 at the Illinois Farragut Boat Club in Chicago. And the game came about because of a football game. Several alumni from Harvard and Yale were in attendance to find out the outcome of the annual Harvard-Yale football game. When Yale was announced the winner, a Yale alum tossed a boxing glove at a Harvard supporter. Not too thrilled with this action, the Harvard fan picked up a stick and hit the glove back at the instigator. Onlookers found this to be rather interesting. A reporter of the Chicago Board of Trade, George Hancock, wittingly called out, "Play ball!" And the first softball game was played between Harvard and Yale football fans with a wadded-up boxing glove and a broom handle. Word of this game spread, and other members of the Farragut Boat Club wanted in on the action, so games became a regular event at the club. The interest was so great, managers at the boat club created their own set of rules for the game. And, no pun intended, it was a hit. So much so, the game started to spread beyond Chicago, and eventually throughout the Midwest. The interest in the game continued to grow, and was known throughout the country as indoor baseball, kitten baseball, diamond ball, mush ball, and pumpkin ball. But in 1926, some say it was 1932, Walter Hankinson, the Denver YMCA physical education director, suggested the term softball, and it stuck. And softball grew. And through the late 1900s to today, slow pitch softball is a huge recreational sport. And softball, a fast pitch game professionally, has become a very popular spectator sport at the college and pro level. And it has moved beyond the borders of the U.S. and is enjoyed in many countries around the world. The next in line of stick and ball games is appropriately called stickball. And the stickball most of us are accustomed to is the one played in the streets of cities, most notably New York City. But that's not where we are going to start. We are going back a little further in history, to the days of when Native Americans controlled the Midwest and western part of the U.S. Native tribes invented stickball as a means to settle disputes and keep the peace between rival tribes. It was played during festivals and as entertainment, as well as when two tribes needed to settle a grievance. It was also used to build up young warriors and prepare them for battle if other means were not able to keep the peace in the area. Although it's not known exactly when it was invented, Native American stickball is considered one of the oldest team sports in North America. And this game was made up of as many as 100 or even up to 1,000 players. And the game usually lasted from sunup to sundown, sometimes even continuing the next day. It was a rough game, with the players aggressively pushing, tripping, and wrestling during the match. The game was simple. Each player had a stick, roughly a couple feet long, with a net covering a small round hole at one of the ends of the stick. The field was anywhere from 500 yards to over a couple miles long. And originally, the goals were two trees or two large rocks at each end of the field. A ball was tossed in the air to begin the game, and the men would rush to scoop it up with the netted part of the stick, as using your hands to touch the ball was illegal. To score, a player had to run past the goals with the ball in his net or hit one of the rocks or trees by throwing the ball with his stick. This game became the precursor to lacrosse, but it probably had a hand in creating other stick-like games as well. Native Americans prepared the day before the game much like they were going to war. Medicine men would lead the players in a tribal stomp dance, and the entire community would take part. Chants and songs were conducted, as well as the players preparing their sticks and painting their bodies as if going to battle. And since the game was in place of combat, bets were placed by each player on the team and the spectators as they would lose something if they did not win, just like a battle. Also, terms of the game and what the winning tribe would receive and what the losing team would have to give up, beyond the individual bets, were decided before the game started. And if a tribe did not accept the terms of the game, the dispute would often end in battle. As mentioned before, this game was turned into another popular game. And in 1834, the Caughnawaga Indians demonstrated a game of stickball in Montreal, Canada. And many Canadians took interest. Several years later, after watching games of stickball in Canada, a dentist, William George Beers, rewrote the rules and created a new playing field and invented lacrosse in 1856. Later on, Beers would be given the honorary title of the father of modern lacrosse. Now, stickball that some of us might have played when we were growing up has its roots in baseball. As in baseball, a batter throws a rubber ball or tennis ball to a batter, who in turn tries to hit it. Manhole covers, parked cars, fire hydrants, cardboard, whatever the gang can find are used as bases. Buildings are usually used as foul territory. What makes this game interesting and fun is gloves are not used in fielding the ball, and the ball needs to be able to bounce. Fielders chasing down a ball, and a player trying to catch a bouncy ball, isn't nearly as easy as you might think. And here is where the entertainment really starts. Being the perfect game for kids growing up in cities where baseball fields and parks are scarce, it became very popular throughout the 1900s. Although playing in the street is a little dangerous with traffic and pedestrians, that didn't stop city kids from playing. The game slowly faded during the 1980s as more parks and baseball fields were built, so city kids had safer places to play. So baseball became more popular, and it is played primarily in the Dominican Republic. Again, this game is similar to baseball, but has some parts of the English game cricket in it as well. There are only two bases and a home plate, and teams are small with only two or three fielders and a pitcher. There are no walks, and a batter can only strike out by swinging, or if the pitcher hits a target behind the batter. A broomstick is used to hit with, but here is where there is a very interesting twist. Instead of a ball, a lavatilla, which is a large plastic water bottle cap, is used. This bottle cap spins, floats, and moves up and down, making it very difficult to hit. And it also moves wildly when hit, making it just as difficult to field. The skill and coordination needed to hit and field in vatilla is credited for giving many of the Dominican Major League Baseball players an edge when they start playing baseball. We've run the gamut of stickball games and touched on some games we will elaborate on in other Uncommon Stories episodes. And we have certainly had fun. And playing any of these games is a fun time and great exercise as well. Except maybe the Native American stickball. That game can be a little dangerous. So this weekend, get out the old ball glove and a bat. Grab the family and some friends and head to a park or a field and play a friendly game of softball or baseball. If you're feeling adventurous, you could even try a game of stool ball or rounders. I bet you'll have a load of fun and create some great memories. So, have you thought about our question? What special baseball league was created during World War II to keep Americans and troops entertained while Major League Baseball was on hiatus? It was the very impressive All-American Girls Professional Baseball League. Started in 1943 and continuing until 1954, it is considered the forerunner of many of the professional women's sports played today. Baseball executives wanted to keep baseball in the minds of the public, so starting this league kept baseball going, as well as giving fans a break from the difficult times of war. And it showed how women could play just as hard and just as tough as men in sports. Well, there we have it. I hope you've enjoyed this edition of Uncommon Stories, and come back next time to listen to more interesting, surprising, thought-provoking, and entertaining stories that are true, but probably are just uncommon. I'm Brad Greer for Uncommon Stories, wishing everyone a wonderful week, and thanks for listening.